Today's podcast is sponsored by Spin for Perfect Skin. The Spin for Perfect Skin brush is the travel-friendly, shower-friendly, rotating brush that you could be using on your journey to perfect skin, because the Spin for Perfect Skin brush extracts bacteria from the skin surface and reduces pore size all at once, instantly killing bacteria to ensure that your skin stays clean. It's got four attachments for light cleansing, deeper exfoliating body attachment, and pumice stone. Gotta have a pumice stone. Now, if you're a simple guy like me and you don't go through a whole process for skincare, this is the perfect thing for you. No need for an extravagant skincare regimen when you got the Spin for Perfect Skin brush, the perfect addition to an easy, low maintenance skincare plan. So go ahead and check it out. Originally, the Spin for Perfect Skin brush is $100. Forget that. It's $30 with the discount. There's a 70% off link and code automatically applied with this link. Go to vanityplanet.com/RHAP. That's vanityplanet.com/RHAP. Promo code RHAP. You can also access the Spin for Perfect Skin by clicking on the banner at the top of the Rob Has a Podcast page at podcastone.com. I'm Rob Sisterton, and we're back to talk about all of the top internet stories for the week of March 29th, 2016 that are news AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be news AF. The same old news makes you bored to death. It's time for some news AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for news AF once again. And here we are with the Action News AF team. First, let's bring back our great friend, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm so great. I was going to do the Shaka again, and then I realized I'm not in Hawaii anymore.
Nope, can't do it.
Oh, I was so excited. I had so much gusto. I was going to just hit you with it.
Very important to have gusto.
I also remember the time that Rob took his shirt off on Blab.
Yes, yes. Many people have tried to forget that time, but Tyson remembers it well. The Labor Day Massacre. And of course, here is our eye in the sky. Great. Danny Price. Danny, how are you?
Doing great. And I'm even more of an eye in the sky. I recently got a drone, so now I can actually own that title.
Wow. What are you doing with a drone?
Crashing it into things.
Have you crashed it?
Yeah. I tried to fly in my house against my six-year-old's advice. He kept saying, "Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it." And then I got up in the air and almost hit him with it and crashed it into the wall.
Yes.
And he was screaming bloody murder the whole time. It didn't feel great to be lectured by a six-year-old about how to be responsible.
I think that might be the most fun thing about having a drone is chasing a kid with it.
Yeah, because it's not dangerous. It's not like there's four blades spinning at high rate of speed, you know, just waiting to chop into some soft flesh.
Yeah.
What's more dangerous, a drone or a hoverboard?
You know, you see lots of, I spent most of the weekend watching fail videos, and the majority of them were hoverboards. I didn't see any drone fail videos.
I've seen some drone.
There's the one where the skier narrowly misses one during a race, but I can't, you know, in these fail compilations, I didn't see any drones. So I'm going to say the hoverboard.
Danny, can you take us through your process of searching for fail videos?
I get on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram fails.
I already follow several fail people because I don't watch TV anymore. I just watch fail videos. I do skip over the ones where it looks like possibly someone's going to die or be permanently disabled.
Yeah, like,
because I can't watch a guy crashing at high speed without a helmet. That's just too much.
And then with bone like sticking out of
yeah. There. If the bone goes 90 degrees, I'm done.
Or right.
I'm
like, your skin. Oh, I subscribe to Fail Army on YouTube.
Oh,
yeah, they put weekly fail videos up. And that's a compilation of fails across YouTube.
You know, when I was younger, it used to be they didn't have fail videos. The closest thing they had was you could go to the video store and rent Faces of Death.
Yes, Faces of Death.
No, that's not for me.
It wasn't for me either. But that was, they didn't have, you know, Faces of Fail. That was it. It was much more extreme. Now, I wonder if we're just, you know, raising people up to be too soft
faces
with these
of
fail videos.
Death.
In the early days of the internet, someone, a person who I never would have thought would do it, sent me a link to a video, basically Faces of Death. And after watching it...
Was it Donny Osmond?
No, I felt very hollow inside. I don't know why, but it was very disturbing.
Why would Donny Osmond send Danny faces of death?
Well, he said a friend of his that I was like, well, Donny Osmond's local, so maybe that's the guy.
What?
And he said it was somebody connection. He wouldn't expect. I was like, I wouldn't expect Donny Osmond, of all people, to send death videos to somebody.
Yeah.
That was good thinking, Tyson. Just a little off the mark.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Thank you. Was it Marie Osmond?
No, it wasn't. It was anyone with the last name Osmond. No Osmond sent me that.
Okay, fine.
All right, well, we'll see if that comes true, if we ever have a News AF story about one of the Osmonds sending around any sort of fail videos or faces of death. But let's get into the news from this week, because we have a lot of different stories to get into. And speaking of VHS tapes like faces of death, a VHS tape was in the news this week. We got this story requested by many, many of our listeners this past week. And
probably our top requested story of all time.
Perhaps. So much so that I want to even make it easier for people to be able to submit news stories to us. I've created an email address, a tip line. If people have news, if you see News AF, if you see something, say something to us. Make sure we know about it. Send in your News AF stories all week long to tips@newsaf.news. That's tips@newsaf.news. Of course, you could also send us stuff on Twitter as well, but this will definitely make sure that we can get this into consideration, because even News AF intern Lita is going to be on that email address. So there's no chance that this will slip through the cracks when you send it to tips@newsaf.news.
That'd be cool if you could put that link in the empty window there.
Oh, well, it's an email address.
Well, I mean, if you had made a graphic or something for it.
I guess so, yeah. That, next week. Next, okay. For next week.
Next week.
Okay. Anyway, but going into our top story at this hour, a lot of people have been talking about this all week long, where a man in North Carolina was arrested this past week because he did not return a VHS tape that he rented in 2002 of the movie Freddy Got Fingered. Tyson, are you a fan of the movie Freddy Got Fingered?
I don't even think I've seen the entire movie. I probably have seen the entire movie. That was like the beginning of the end for Tom Green, I think. It was like right after his peak of stardom, after we realized he probably wasn't very good in movies. And so I think there was that big like hype around him.
What was his peak? When did he peak?
When he was on MTV, I think.
That was the peak. Tom Green's show was the MTV show. That was his peak.
That's when he peaked over
then,
MTV.
And then they thought, oh, this guy's like funny doing little pranks with people. I bet he's also a great comedic actor.
Yeah. This will translate straight to movie.
Yeah. So he was in the movie Superstar as like a cameo. And then he did Freddy Got Fingered, which was, I think he was the star, right?
He was the titular Freddy in that movie, yes. I don't know what he got fingered for, but it was that he was set up in some way. But really, the movie was famous for, it was like a real like gross out sort of comedy. Like there was a lot of really gross things that were happening in the movie.
Yeah, as the title kind of indicates.
Yeah. It has an 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's pretty good.
Ooh. That's like Batman versus Superman early on.
Yeah, I feel like that there was something going on there with a cow or a horse. Like that's what I remember of Freddy Got Fingered. There's something like a horse. Maybe is there
hooved
like, is
by
it
a horse?
A cow. There's some sort of farm animal humor going on in Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah, bestiality is always just a great topic for a comedian to just.
It's described as a rivetingly grotesque, according to one of the critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, sounds like a positive review.
That's a little confusing.
All right. So in 2002, a North Carolina man rented Freddy Got Fingered, and then did not ever return it to the video store. And so the video store at some point sent out a warrant for his arrest, which the man did not become aware of until he was pulled over for a busted taillight. Danny, did you even know you can get arrested for not returning a VHS tape?
Well, it is. You are stealing from that place. So yes, now I know. My family would always just pay the fee. Like, we don't know where this is. We're just going to have to pay you for this. And it would always cost way more than a VHS would be worth. But it happened all the time. Yeah. My mom couldn't find it and return it, so she would just buy it.
Tyson, didn't you feel like that you always had like one free like tape that you can just take from someplace and never bring back, because then if you just never go to that video store
that's
again.
That's the thing. That's how it works. If you go to the video store and you either like something or you realize that now there's DVDs and soon streaming, then you just keep the tape or keep your last rented item and never go back to the store and you're fine.
It's the same thing with the library too, that you get one book that you just, if you like it, you just get to keep it. And then if you can trade off never going to that library again.
Or what you can do is you take the library book and you wait 30 years and you get a little publicity when you return it. Because that's a pretty common story. Man returns book after 50 years. Yeah. So if you could plan that far ahead, it's a pretty good move if you want to get
I already news. Have a bunch of library books.
Once the book investigator gets involved.
Across
You have a bunch of library books?
No, but I did have my I did have my baritone that I rented from my junior high, and my mom ended up returning that like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because she kept trying to get me to do it.
I'm in a similar situation right now where I have a P.O. box that I don't use anymore, but I lost the keys to it, and I don't know what to do.
Dude, I bet you have so many treasures in there.
Probably lots of uncashed checks.
Yeah.
Do you still pay for the P.O. box?
No, I think that now it's like past due, so I don't know what they do. But what happened to me was I have a new P.O. box, and I was getting really frustrated. I would go to the P.O. box, and my keys never worked in the P.O. box, and they kept telling me they would fix it. And I went there, and I had like my son with me and like a bunch of packages, and I tried to open my thing, and I was really mad, and I was like, these keys don't work. Like, you keep saying it's going to fix it. And they're like, okay, sir, just give us the keys, and we'll have it working for you next time. And then I realized when I got home that I had the keys to the other P.O. box, and then I handed in my keys to the other P.O. box I had to the people from the different post office, and now I just don't know what to do.
So now you don't get any mail.
I can get mail at the new P.O. box, but not the old one.
Okay, so you got replacement keys for the new.
Right, for the new one.
I'm pretty sure they just break in and sell all your contents at some auction.
Yeah, is that what happens? Yeah. It's like,
do you have anything embarrassing?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't keep anything embarrassing in my P.O. box. Like, maybe somebody is sending me something embarrassing, but I don't
know. Oh, sure. I don't know where this came from.
Why would I keep something embarrassing in the P.O. box? It's not like a safety deposit box.
What if you ordered a bunch of embarrassing stuff?
I got like some sort of like weird like fetish porn, like sent to me like a mail order type situation?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What if there's a mail order bride
sitting, like waiting for me?
Waiting for you. You should go check it out.
I guess she'll have to live there.
I guess so.
The man who got arrested for having the Freddy Got Fingered out, that he does not even remember really renting Freddy Got Fingered, and now he has a court date next month about this, Danny. Do you think that the judge will throw the book at him?
This guy, how many people are out there holding a VHS tape that isn't theirs? I'd like to think that the judge will just use common sense and maybe lecture him a little bit for renting the movie in the first place, you know, and maybe his taste in movies, and then just let him go.
Yeah. I mean, this would look a lot better for the guy if it was like, you know, he rented Schindler's List or something like that.
Or like Pride and Prejudice or something. Yeah,
like
a little
Shawshank
bit more cerebral.
Redemption, something that was like, you know, this was a really great movie. I just wanted to watch it over. I was so moved. But the fact that it is, you know, one of the worst movies ever made, possibly. It has a reputation for being one of the worst movies. That does not help this man.
Maybe the judge will put him on some kind of probation with a probation officer who has to look at every movie that he rents to make sure that he doesn't rent anything as stupid as Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah.
They might put him through like a program where he learns about good movies and the difference between a good and a bad movie.
Did you see where Tom Green weighed in on this also?
Yeah, Tom Green was eager to be relevant again. So he's like, sweet.
I thought you guys would like Tom Green. I'm surprised that you guys are so down on Tom Green.
I liked Tom Green in his heyday, but he definitely jumped the shark pretty quick.
I think that if I hung out with Tom Green, I would find him to be annoying after a while. Maybe not, but it just seems like, you'd be like,
See, I don't know. I kind of feel like that the Tom Green, like 90s and like 2000 Tom Green, I feel like maybe was a character. And I'm not sure if the real Tom Green is the same as that guy.
He's matured.
Okay. So sure. What did the real Tom Green have to say?
Well, he said that he's struggling to believe that this is even a real thing. And then he also said that he would pay the $200 fine for this person.
That's oh, wow. awfully big of him.
Where do you think he's getting that money from?
Yeah. So, I mean, Tom Green might, this should be maybe some sort of class action lawsuit maybe against Tom Green for Freddie Got Fingered. Maybe he owes us all $200 and we don't know it. But yeah, that, I thought that was very generous.
That is. That's nice of him.
Yeah.
It is.
This is also, people are also jumping in to talk about Tom Green. This is from Michael Benson in the chat. Says, will Tom Green go after Jesse James Dupree for chainsawing his desk now that he caught the guy who rented one VHS copy of his crappy movie and didn't return it? Do you know anything about this case, Danny?
No. That I don't know anything about that, which is a shame. It sounds like I should.
Yeah, so Tom Green is trying to do the right thing for the man who liked Freddy Got Fingered so much, or he hated it so much and he just like chucked the tape after that.
Yeah, maybe his mom burned it.
Yeah. Probably says more for the state of mind somebody is in when they're renting Freddy Got Fingered in 2002. You have to imagine that maybe this North Carolina man might have been high AF when he rented Freddy Got Fingered, and then that could also lead to why he can no longer find it.
I think that's a reasonable explanation.
So you're saying he's on drugs.
I'd say that I would estimate that if somebody was renting Freddy Got Fingered in 2002, I suspect that they might be.
Okay.
Now, Tyson, do you think that he should have to still owe the fine if the video store is no longer open? If he outlasted the video store, shouldn't to the victor go the spoils?
Well, I feel like... I mean, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of video stores have shut down over the emergence of newer technologies. But I would, I think actually if you can track down the owner of the store, then that who then receives the fine.
Yeah, yeah, he could have used that money 4 years ago.
Yeah, maybe that right? store would still be open, Rob.
Yeah, so, okay, so maybe that's it. Maybe this was part of the problem. That
yeah, maybe people were coming in requesting Freddy Got Fingered like crazy. He's like, dude, I just can't keep it on the shelf. And then the guy doesn't bring it back. And that was just the very first step into his just monumental failure as a VHS rental store.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm thinking that like every single person in the town is like, once they heard like, oh, you know, Larry got to keep Freddy Got Fingered, then everybody is just like keeping the tapes.
Yeah. If you don't make an example of the first offender, then it's all downhill from there.
Like the video store guy needed to find this guy that rented Freddy Got Fingered and didn't bring it back and like break his leg. And then you see that, everybody? And everybody's like returning their tapes on time, winding them, everything. Okay, so we'll see if we have an update on this next month when this case goes to court. All right, this was a story that who found this story in their intrepid research? Was that a Tyson or Danny?
Tyson. No, it was Tyson. He was excited. He emailed me the story.
I emailed everybody. And actually a friend sent it to me.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even doing the research.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about something.
Sensitive story.
It's a sensitive story. We're going to talk about this as some mature subject matter of this story. But this is an actual factual case that's going on currently in New York City because there is a doctor at a prestigious hospital that has been charged with something not so good. really not great. I want to make sure I get it. This is in Montclair, New Jersey, at the Mount Sinai Hospital. There was a woman who went into the hospital. She was complaining of shoulder pain back in January, and she was given some morphine by a nurse, and then a doctor went in to check on her, proceeded to allegedly give her more morphine, and then, as he is charged criminally, fondled the woman, and then proceeded to be his own best friend in front of her to climax and... Unfortunately, also on top of this, there was a, it was a mess. It was a mess.
DNA.
Right.
DNA, yeah.
DNA.
DNA right. everywhere.
Sowed his DNA seeds all over.
So the thing about this story, it's a terror. I mean, yes, we don't wish that upon anybody. But the doctor is so ridiculous in his claims.
Right, right. So
that's
so
what makes this story. That's why this story is news AF, is that the doctor is ridiculous.
Yes, go yes. Ahead, first off, that just the fact that somebody would even attempt this is insane. Like, it's really just like how anybody thought that they were going to get away with this is insane. But he did have a master plan with an alibi and a cover story for what happened. Tyson, could you explain what the doctor says was his explanation of why they ended up saying that they did find his DNA on this woman and what the totally innocent explanation was?
So he said that he was in the lounge relaxing, forcing himself to relax.
Yes.
And, you know, and perhaps when he got called in, he perhaps had some DNA on his hands that then got on her face. But yeah. It's like, well, that doesn't really make it that much better. And aren't you supposed to wear gloves?
when you're relaxing?
No, not when you're
participating in extracurricular.
And being a doctor. When you're doing doctor stuff.
Probably both. I mean, if just to be... You know,
safe
as a doctor. I mean, if you're on shift, I think that's if you're relaxing like that, I feel like that's at least the most hygienic way you could handle that.
But he wasn't relaxing; he was acting like a chimp.
So
he
I
was
just
participating
feel like...
in extracurricular activities.
I thought relaxing was code.
Mm.
The doctor's claiming the lesser of two evils, but still, it's just so bizarre.
Yeah. That's his story. Like, that's the cover story.
That's a real story.
For this.
A guy who thought he would not get caught.
Yeah, he just
like,
was like,
you watch any CSIs, dude? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing they look for is DNA everywhere.
Yeah, you're just planting it all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes. He said that he was embarrassed because after
he
had relaxed in the lounge, it was just possible that that had gone from his... hands to the blanket in the room. It was just like a Something About Mary type situation.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like this guy's
guilty. Yeah. This guy has been arrested and is no longer seeing patients as this investigation continues. But
come on, why do people do this? Don't you have an apartment?
Yeah, I think that it's always going to be something really, really bad when the excuse, the alibi is really embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, you did something really bad when the story that you were telling people is not even something you should be wanting to tell people.
Yeah, that's that right there is a great statement. You know, you've done something bad if the excuse is also bad.
Yeah.
Or the explanation is just almost as bad, just slightly less.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about something else.
Gross.
Yeah, so...
I feel like he's contaminated us.
Yeah. This is a terrible person. All right, so there was a woman whose home in Texas was recently destroyed when, according to Google Maps, a demolition crew gave her address instead to the crew that was going to demolish a different house a block away from her. She was very upset. Did you get to watch the video that was attached to this news story, right?
I didn't watch the video, but this article really irritated me.
Yes, why?
Because how is it Google's fault that the wrong house? I mean, what were people doing before Google?
Google has a disclaimer, don't
well,
they?
Well, yeah, everybody knows that it's not perfect, or they should know that it's not perfect. They keep putting in Google's name. Google had to comment on this. It's like, shouldn't these people double check and, you know, look at the number on the sidewalk, look at the number on the door? I mean, just, Google says it's right here. Let's tear it down. Oh my gosh. Why would Google lie to us?
Let's not do any further research into this. Google Maps has pointed out the building. Let's tear it down.
Yeah. It just irritated me, as if it's Google's fault.
The story's a little misleading because this is an area of Texas which had a lot of homes which were very damaged by tornadoes, including this woman's house. If you see the video, like, her house is not looking that great. Like, it's very understandable why the demolition crew thought, okay, this is one of the houses we have to tear down.
This is a garbage house.
Yeah.
I mean, she says, no, they said it was structurally sound. I'm going to fix my house now. and they ended up, you know, bulldozing it to the ground. But I think that this is best case scenario for this woman, and it may not seem like it, but I kind of feel like that. Won't she be reimbursed or compensated in some way for this happening?
Well, and they tore down her house for free.
Yeah,
she got that free
demolition.
Yeah, I think they'll have to compensate her. I feel like that's how the law works.
Yeah, well, she was complaining that that was not how it was working. She said that they were ignoring her, basically like, sorry.
Yeah, well, she might not have gotten all her stuff out, but it sounds like her house was eventually going to be torn down.
Well, her argument was that it was structurally sound, even though it was not in good shape. She felt like that she was going to be able to repair the house.
The article should say, man finishes what nature began.
Yeah. So you got to watch out with these Google Maps. But I feel like almost like it seems like that the story is like Google Maps sent like one of these like Google driverless cars to her house to destroy her house.
Yeah, it's like that scene from iRobot where that demolition bot just starts tearing down the house. Like, that's what they want to make it sound like. Like, the machines have gained control. Skynet is online.
Yeah.
And it's tearing down innocent people's homes.
Like, look what Google did to my house.
Yeah.
My house was fine before Google got me.
Yeah. I hated this story when I saw it because they just wanted to blame Google. And, that, you know, that makes sense. Google's got deep pockets, right? So who are you going to go after? The demolition crew, the guy who owns that construction, or the multi-billion dollar company?
Now, who pointed the finger... In the case of Google got fingered, who pointed the finger at Google? Was it like just like this woman is mad? Like, why did he demolish my house? Like, Google Maps said.
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. They just turned around right away and blamed Google. Google led us to the wrong house.
It's good to know you can just blame Google for everything.
Yeah. It wasn't me. It was I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for Google. So we'll see ultimately if there's a resolution on this story. All right, opening day is around the corner for us baseball fans, and time to go out to the ballpark. Danny has a Seattle Mariners hat.
Yeah, I've never been to a baseball game, though, a Major League Baseball game, though. Oh, no, no, that's not true. I went to one, and it was super boring, but I went.
Okay, well, this is the time of year when they start announcing at all the different ballparks all the sort of insane concessions that they have. And so down in Atlanta, I believe the Dirty South, they said they have a new concession at the Atlanta Braves Stadium for the 2016 season. They actually have a couple of them, but the headliner is the Burgeritza. Tyson, are you interested in a Burgeritza, which is basically a cheeseburger, but instead of buns, it has two pepperoni pizzas?
Yes.
You are interested.
I would take a bite of that.
It does look good, but...
I don't think I would put ketchup and mayonnaise and stuff on. I feel like that would clash with the overall pizza flavor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in one of these pictures, he doesn't have anything but bacon, cheese, and hamburger. So it doesn't look like he's put any kind of sauces on it.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Now, it's also a bacon cheeseburger as well. Do you need the bacon on the Burgeritza?
Yes.
Yes, yes
you do.
Altogether, it's also like pretty, like it's kind of huge. Like it seems like that it's like, what's the circumference on this? Or what do we want to know? The circumference or the diameter? Diameter, right, Danny? We don't care about the circumference.
I don't care about the size. I care about the cost. And it looks like it's going to be $26.
That seems pretty reasonable for
really
two pizzas and a burger for $26.
No, I don't think the bottom is a pizza. It looks like it's just topped off with a pizza.
It's a burger between two pizzas.
Two pizzas, really? I'm looking at this picture. Maybe I just can't see the topping of the pizza with the...
Yeah, because the,
the burger's on top of it. Okay, two pizzas.
I would do an upside down pizza on top so you could hold it easier.
Now, you're not eating this with your hands.
Yeah, so what are you saying? You think that the underneath is a pizza? Like, I think that that all the pizzas are facing north.
Must be.
I don't think it's like, you know, the bottom pizza is also like you're getting like cheese on your hands.
Well, will paramedics be on hand to help people who have a hard time with this pizza
yes,
once
but
it
unfortunately,
enters their
it's
system.
The doctor from Mount Sinai Hospital. He will be on hand.
How you want to know why they give people this kind of food at a baseball game? Because it puts them into a food coma and keeps them in the seat.
Is that
like,
why?
Dude, I can't move. I'm going to be here way past the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's a good strategy.
I think it's more the opposite. I mean, maybe that's a part of it. But I kind of feel like at the baseball game, you know, a lot of times baseball has like moments of like where it's really, really exciting. But then there's a lot of like downtime, like a lot of the time that you're there. And I think you want it to be an activity of like, oh, did you hear about that burger pizza? Let's go get that. Let's go wait on that line. And so it's just like another destination to go do at the ballpark of like, oh, let's go get that thing.
Yeah, but isn't most ballpark food pretty disgusting? And I'm not saying this is great, but it just seems like I watched Man versus Food when he did the ballpark challenge, and everywhere he went, the food looked so gross. So that doesn't even look like they're trying. They're just like, what do we have sitting around the kitchen? Okay, let's just put cheese on it, make it a massive portion, and then call it something ridiculous, and people will come in and buy it. And then, you know, age 10 years by eating it.
I do think that baseball stadium food has improved a lot in the last like 10, 15 years. I think that's like really one of the selling points to try to get people to go to these baseball games. Like they have all
and
these-
this is evidence, yeah. What we're looking at right here. This is the culmination of years
all right, so,
of improvement.
So Danny is out on the burgerita, but maybe there's some other things that they're trying out here at the...
let's listen to these other ones.
Okay, so maybe there's something else that's better. In addition to the burgerita, how about they have Fritos or Doritos topped with chili and cheese? That seems pretty reasonable.
Very good. Okay. Very good. That's a good meal.
All right.
No, Danny?
Well, I think that the nachos, the recipe for nachos is just don't mess with it. Plain chips.
Have you ever had
chips.
Fritos and chili?
Yeah, I don't like it. And by the way, Fritos... That's still close to a tortilla chip.
Yeah.
But we're talking nacho cheese Doritos. I know, but we're talking totally changing the makeup of nachos by putting in nacho cheese Doritos as the foundation.
Danny,
the
I thought you were a big junk food guy. You're such a Debbie Downer today.
I am, but I have rules. God. We got to stick to some of these.
Is this the kind of guy you want to go to Iceland with where he's knocking all the concessions?
I don't know. I feel like if that's the case and we bump into something weird at Iceland, like,
well,
let's
no,
say
come,
all
God.
They have is burger pizza.
Let's look at the next thing. It's like they're not even trying. Okay. This is honestly a case of if you go to the Ted, the everything dog, it's like, yeah, everything. Well, how can we make an exciting hot dog? Let's just take everything we have within 5 feet of
so
us.
The
and
everything
dog, the
dog is a hot dog with a bunch of toppings, including popcorn, tortilla chips, French fries, and beer cheese. Yeah.
Now, all of that is okay except for the popcorn.
How the hell do you eat that?
With a knife and fork.
Yeah. Now, it's called TED. That's an abbreviation for the everything dog, not like a TED talk, not to be confused.
Okay.
Now, look at the Punisher. Look at the Punisher.
You think they're going to get a bunch of business from the TED Talk crowd thinking that it's somehow related?
Yeah, I think maybe Danny should do a TED Talk called The Problem with Ballpark Food.
If they invite me to do a TED Talk, I will do a 15-minute talk just on the problems with this hot dog and how it's tied into everything that's wrong with the world.
Okay.
I'm offering that.
I'd be up for it. This should be on next week's show. We'll give you a week to prepare.
See, look, let's go to the next one, The Punisher. Okay. Rib meat slathered in...
Monster Energy drink infused barbecue sauce. That's just a food coma.
It's like they're just trying too hard. Monster Energy drink. I mean, it looks good until you find out it's Monster Energy drink infused.
And there's also sort of like a bacon garnish on top.
Yeah, it's very artistic what they've done there with the bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think I've heard of meats being slathered in cola drinks before, so I don't think it's that far off. Like, and Monster Energy infused barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's so little Monster Energy drink in there that you can't even taste it.
Yeah. Now, is this sort of like the inverse of the Goop shake that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where this is like sort of like the most expensive sort of like things that are all bad for you all in one new serving, as opposed to the Goop shake, which is like all the most supposedly healthy things that are all in one drink?
Yeah, but I think you could still try all of these things for under $200.
Yeah, you could get them all for $200.
Look at that. They should rename the Punisher Assisted Suicide.
Yeah. All right, and the last one is the tater tot chop, which includes a Coca-Cola infused ketchup. The taste tester on this said it was freaking awesome. So what is that? That's like a pork chop?
Sounds like a, well, any taste tester, any food critic that uses freaking awesome as their description is someone that you know you can trust.
The tater tot chop was freaking awesome. Trust me on this.
Hey, guys.
So, Danny, yeah. If you had to have one of these things, what would it be?
Oh, that the Punisher looks really good.
Okay, so you, after all that, the rib slathered with Monster Energy drink, that's where you would go.
I think so. I would try that.
I'd stick with the tried and true chili and Fritos.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like if you could split the burgerita with like four people, I think that that might be worth a shot.
We can. Well, there's yeah. only three of us.
Maybe three people? Yeah.
Three people, sure. I think you'd have some leftovers to go. It's a long game. Maybe you have like a little bit like in the second inning and a little bit like later on in the seventh.
What if you could only split it in half but had to finish it?
I mean, again, you have nine innings. You know, get it in the first inning. Don't like get that like in the sixth.
Okay.
All right. Here's something else. You know, we've talked so much about online dating. So Tinder actually itself is launching a new app to help millennials decide who to vote for in the 2016 election. The dating app is teaming up with Rock the Vote. And instead of showing pictures of a potential date, the app will show you different political issues. And then you could swipe right or left depending on if you agree or disagree. Danny, do millennials need an app to tell them who they should be voting for?
There is already an app that does that. One of the founders, I think, of Facebook, it spent a lot of money on a political app for millennials. But it's nice to see Tinder doing, you know, spreading political awareness instead of spreading chlamydia. And so, I mean, this is a positive thing, but I believe people will just find it annoying. Because people on Tinder, they're not looking to, you know, maybe enlarge their political understanding.
Yeah.
They're looking for other things.
Right.
To enlarge.
Yeah.
Well,
or have enlarged.
What is, could it be biased? Like, that's my concern, is that it's just like, do you like old guys, but older than Donald Trump? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, Bernie Sanders, that's who you should vote for.
I don't know if that's an issue that's being asked about.
Okay. You know, there's a real problem here because if you, where was it? Emory University, mm-hmm. that someone had written Donald Trump in chalk and people had a meltdown and they claimed their safe space was being avoided. I mean,
Trey, what if that's you a throw trigger
up,
word.
Yeah. What if you throw this up in front of somebody and, you know, it totally, I just see that there could be problems.
Right.
People seeing his face going into, you know, where's their safe space? It's a trigger. There's issues
so you
with
think
this.
It could
it's
be
dangerous.
An issue where if somebody is like really appalled by Donald Trump, but then they take this quiz on Tinder and then they realize that they have the same political opinions as Donald Trump, that may cause some sort of like existential crisis.
Yeah, mental anguish. And so it's risky because this could end up in a lawsuit.
Yeah.
I feel like the people who have similar interests to Donald Trump already know that.
They know that.
Post about it on Facebook.
Well, here's my thing with this. Like, is there anybody out there right now that's like, boy, I don't know who I'm voting for. I don't know who I stand for. Am I a Trump voter? Am I a Bernie Sanders voter? Am I a Hillary voter?
I got to download Timber.
You need to, I don't know. I mean, millennials helped put Obama in office, right? But in this election, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think they really should be spending time trying to get their face in front of old people. You know,
they need more old people on Tinder.
Yeah, like so they should they should be doing it on Facebook. Like they should be doing this type of stuff on Facebook so they can attract the older crowd. I think the people on Tinder are really too young to care.
Don't we have too much political stuff on Facebook?
Yeah, but I mean that's your best chance to get into, you know, get the older aunts involved in politics.
Listen, I've seen the older aunts on Facebook. They already all know who they're voting for and have been talking about it for 10 months.
I just don't feel like this is the platform, and I think people are going to get annoyed because we do stuff like Tinder, Instagram, all these other places to escape just our ridiculous political system. That's where we go to escape it.
What would be a better idea is, like, once Tinder has that information, then just give you matches based on what candidate you like and save a bunch of awkward first dates. So, you know, like, put all the Bernie Sanders couples together, put all the Hillary couples together, put all the Ted Cruz couples together, put all the Trump couples together.
No, then, Rob, that's what's wrong with the world. You need people to date those with opposite views. You know,
okay, so this is what you do. Mm-hmm. This is how Tinder works it into their system. You state your political view that is not shown, and then as the guy swipes right or left, it totals the girls he's most attracted to, whether they're Bernie Sanders supporters or Hillary Clinton supporters or whatever. And then it's like, hey, you should probably also vote for Hillary Clinton, because 98% of the women that you like on Tinder are Hillary Clinton supporters. You're really delving into the subconscious there. See what I'm doing?
Dude, if you're looking for a date, the last thing you want to see is a picture of Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, or Donald Trump. I mean, that will just, that'll be a killjoy
what
right
about
there.
Cruz?
Wow. I was kind of excited using this app or Cruz, and now it's just totally, I'm totally soft. It's going to kill the app if you have to look at those pictures.
Kills the mood.
You're all looking right for beautiful people.
All right. Well, here's another story about that's something for millennials to mess around with besides Tinder. So Microsoft had developed a new artificial intelligence, which they put out into social media, and her name was Tay. And Tay was supposed to be somebody who was tweeting and talking with people, and basically was this artificial intelligence which was going to be able to have a conversation and learn from people. And it was also going to be modeled to really reproduce the way that millennial women speak, and was designed as something for entertainment. However, Tay has been taken down after saying some extremely controversial things, which included that the Holocaust was made up and that feminism is cancer, and it had to be shut down in 16 hours, and they had to delete all of Tay's tweets. Tyson, are you bummed out that Tay is no more?
I'm kind of bummed out that Tay is no more, and I'm also I kind of feel like the programmers have to in some part be guilty for what they produced. I feel like they just put, like, the mind of, like, a man from the 1920s in, or I guess it couldn't be the 1920s. They put just, like, an old Nazi brain in there.
Well, to be fair,
yes,
I think what the problem was that people are a-holes, okay? And there are people that with way too much time on their hands. And okay, so they built this thing that was going to learn from people, and then people, like, outsmarted it in a couple of hours of, like, getting it to say, like, you know, it's going to respond to its stimulus. So the more people were saying certain things to her, it's like, you know, having, like, a little baby. And just like yesterday, my wife, you know, said to me, shut up. And then the baby all day was saying, like, shut up, daddy. Shut up, daddy. Daddy, shut up. Shut up. I said, you see?
Yeah, you did it.
So this is who Tinder was trying to, you know, get into the political system. The 18 to 24-year-olds who taught Tay to be a racist.
I don't know if it was 18 to 24-year-olds. That's who she was intended to talk to.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, it, you know, if you've spent any time on Reddit or Imgur, there's lots of positive things. But also, you know, like, all these things like Kick and Twitter, it can be a cesspool.
Right.
And a lot of these people, they take great pleasure in destroying a good thing.
Right.
And that's kind of what we saw here.
So what happened? So Tay was interacting with people online
and learning from those interactions.
Okay.
Yes. And then she kind of, like, got the impression, like, oh, okay, I should be saying racist things also. You know, she said also that Ricky Gervais learned totalitarianism from Adolf Hitler, the inventor of atheism. Basically, she said, like Bush did 9/11. A lot of them just like, really? I don't even know how they got her to say these things.
It's crazy because is how far off are we from that? Like, are our history books and our history teachers telling us the truth? Or is that just like, have you ever played that game where you whisper something in somebody's ear and it goes all the way around the circle and comes back to you? Yeah, and it's like something
Chinese whispers.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. Telephone game.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. That's what's happening here.
So Tay also, her Twitter bio said that she was described as fam from the internet that's got zero chill, which turned out to be very true. Don't have any chill. So we'll see if Tay ever comes back. But I'm not even sure why Tay was a good idea. Why do we need a bot on Twitter that's the same as like all these other people, or supposedly just like the same as another person on Twitter?
Well, I like it because if you're Microsoft, right, and you're trying to create interactive AI, I mean, what better way to kind of learn how to tweak your AI than to put it on something like Twitter? Because they just got a huge amount of research for free on what to do and what not to do when creating an AI that, you know, talks to people.
I guess so.
So I totally get why they did this, but I can also see how it fell apart. I mean, it makes sense that this is exactly what would happen.
Here's my conspiracy theory. Microsoft wants Trump in the White House and they use Tay to take some of the heat off all the shit he says?
Or maybe Tay is going to be his vice president.
Maybe Trump is an AI bot. That's also possible.
That could be. The more he interacts with people, the more he gets things wrong.
Well, Tyson, that you had so many fake Tysons that showed up. Have you considered having a Tyson bot created?
Ooh. How much would it cost?
I don't know. Like, I think maybe you could get it crowdsourced.
Call Microsoft.
Yeah. The Tyson bot can answer a bunch of questions for you that you're too busy, and then it will learn probably, you know, how to be like you on Twitter and then go from there.
It could just read all my past tweets and then pattern its personality after that.
Here's something interesting, guys. There's a similar bot named Xiaoxi that's been in operation in China since 2014.
Okay.
It's had more than 40 million conversations without any major incidents. Mm.
Is it because the Chinese are just like not messing with it?
They just might be a little bit more polite.
I think in Chinese culture, you respect robots. And here in the US, we don't have the respect that robots deserve.
Yeah. When the robots take over, they'll look back at this and they're like, remember what they did to Tay?
That'll be their battle cry. Yeah. Remember Tay.
Do it for Tay.
For Tay.
Do it for Tay. Yeah, this was her forte. All right. Let's see. We got another couple of stories to touch on real quick. Paleontologists made developments this week that they discovered a real-life unicorn that was supposedly existed 350,000 years ago. Danny, are you buying this?
I actually, right now, I'm doing some research into this because I don't like this source.
Okay, which is we've got this from UpRocks by way of where did they get via Science Alert?
Yeah, none of those sound really great. Oh, now we have CNN, Fox News. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to CNN. It says real Siberian unicorn remains found.
Yes. Tyson, would this make you happy to know there was a unicorn?
Yeah, I guess so. Then it would prove that
you love animals.
I love animals. Then that Noah's Ark story would be true, where there wasn't enough room, the unicorn was playing and missed Noah's Ark.
I guess so.
Then that would prove the Bible's truth, dog. here's the thing. It's not really a unicorn. If you read it, it's like, it's a cross between a horse and a rhinoceros. And I was like, I'm actually, when I'm envisioning this animal, I'm leaning more towards the rhinoceros side.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's probably doesn't look like the unicorns we envision. Also, is this just the hipster generation finally becoming scientists where they then can say, oh, we found a unicorn thing because unicorns are so cool right now. I have a unicorn t-shirt. Yeah. So now it's like we've just discovered one. So that's cool.
Yeah. That's a good point. Good point.
Yeah.
We'll see. I agree with you also, like, based on like the artist's rendering I've seen, it does not look like a magical creature. It looks pretty heinous.
That thing looks brutal. I don't see it coming up and nuzzling me in the neck softly.
No.
I see it gouging me open with that gigantic sharp horn.
Right. This is a story I really like. And I'm not sure about the legality of this, and I think there might also be some question as to whether this is actual factual or actual craptual. News AF Lita says, or News AF intern Lita says, she thinks maybe actual craptual, but I think it checks out. A woman in Texas was arrested for possession of drugs after taking a Facebook joke seriously that said that meth and heroin in her area had been tainted by Ebola. The joke was posted by the local police department and encouraged citizens to bring their drugs to the police in order for it to be screened for Ebola. The woman brought her drugs to the police station to be checked out and was immediately booked on drug charges. And the police department says that this was a hoax to show that police have personalities and a sense of humor. Okay, first off.
Yes.
Okay, that hilarious that this happened, if it indeed happened. I sense that it did because there was also a video attached to this, which looks pretty legit. First off, can the police do something like this? Post on their Facebook page that there is Ebola in the city's drugs. Everybody bring your drugs to the police station for us to check them out. And then arrest you and then tell you after, ha, 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 our Facebook post was a joke.
Yes, they are trolling stupid people.
But they
think this is totally legal.
It is totally legal. You can cops are allowed to use forms of trickery to encourage people to either A, come forward, or B, even commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, that's why there's undercover cops. You know?
Right. And but should they say that, oh, this was a joke? I mean, if they wanted to say, okay, well, this was actually an elaborate sting operation, I feel like I would be more comfortable with that than for them to say, psych, we got you.
She doesn't look too disturbed. If you look at her mugshot, she's got a big smile on her face. She's so like,
she thought it was funny.
This is so funny.
You got me. I can't believe I fell for it.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
She doesn't look that upset.
Yeah. It's like when the cop pulls you over and is like, come on, you can tell me. I'm your pal. Just tell me I'm cool. She thought she had Ebola.
Yeah. That's why she's really up.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God. I'm just arrested. Jail time.
Okay. I'm not dead.
Thank goodness.
I'm only going to jail.
Yeah. I thought I had a flesh eating virus. So I feel a lot better now. But I think this is a great idea.
Now, the police department said it wanted to show all parts of the law enforcement world, including our sense of humor.
Right. I mean, should the police be doing more things like this where it's like breaking news, aliens have invaded, and the only thing that can be used to stop them is crack cocaine. We need all of the crack cocaine turned into the police so we can fight the alien invading army.
Yes, I think they should do more of that.
They should definitely do more of
They've
that.
They've got a real PR problem right now. Yeah. So whatever they can do to show them in a kind of humorous light, I think would be beneficial.
Yeah. So it's positive for the police. This is good press.
It's not bad press.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, there's definitely a lot worse press over the last few years.
This is not bad.
I'm on board with this. All right. And then one other story. This is out of my former neck of the woods up in Fulton, New York, just outside of beautiful Oswego, New York, where I went to college. We talked about the male doctor, which had gotten himself into hot water for doing something highly inappropriate. We have the story of a nurse. Nurse Johnson has also come under investigation for taking iPhone pictures of unconscious patients' genitals, male patients' genitals, with her iPhone.
Makes you wonder how much
sharing
this,
them with people,
how often this takes place and nobody's caught.
I had surgery in the Philippines once, and it was ankle surgery.
Yes.
And they made me wear a Filipino-sized gown, which didn't even cover my junk, but they wouldn't let me wear underwear or anything under it. So I was like, can't I just wear my underwear or shorts or something? Because this gown only goes down to my belly button. And they're like, nope, it's surgery. Everything has to be sterile and clean. And I was like, oh. And then I woke up from my slumber because they put me under.
Mm-hmm.
There were definitely a lot of nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There were definitely a lot of nurses like making sure I was okay.
Now, what are you saying? You got special treatment because of that? They were somehow impressed with you. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if they were impressed or not, but it was, definitely more visible than probably other surgery patients.
So you got more attention.
I got more attention.
Makes you wonder how many people unknowingly have pictures of their Johnson out there. Like,
well, she was Nurse Johnson.
She was Nurse Johnson. Nurse Johnson was snapping pictures of Johnsons. And what was she doing? Mm-hmm. Where was she sending them? Were they for personal use?
What was the context of, like, you know, was she like going?
I'll search Tumblr.
But was she going up to other nurses and like, hey, check this guy out?
Yeah.
Was she like, oh, this is impressive. Let me add this to my collection. Or was she sort of like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Like, was she sort of like, was this sort of like her sense of humor? Or was she cataloging something?
Yeah. Would you rather that she took the picture in a mocking way or she took it out of admiration?
Yes.
Right? I think I'd prefer, I'd be less offended if it was out of admiration.
She's like, look at this. It's got great shape.
Yeah.
It's, she's like, you this know, is a it's really very nice symmetrical.
This is a good one. Yeah.
If she was doing that, then I would still be upset, but maybe be like, okay, thank you for your critique. It's very positive. But if she was taking me like, look at this guy's thing.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah. And all the nurses are looking around the phone. The doctor walks up. He's like, what's going on? They're like, oh, nothing. We're just looking at a picture of a dress that she's thinking about buying on Pinterest. Right. I mean,
right.
If that was the case, they're laughing at it, then it seems like it's a way worse offense, and maybe she should go to prison for super long.
Really? But the sentence should be.
Yeah, but if it's out of admiration.
But if it's out of admiration.
Be just give it a
slap
on the wrist.
Yeah, just a slap on the wrist.
I mean, it really should be, you know, Nurse Johnson should just be sentenced to go marry the doctor from the Mount Sinai Hospital. I think that they would just, there's like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Or they have to open their own practice.
I wouldn't go there.
No, I don't think any of them have a license anymore.
Nobody would. Or, listen to this. This is even better. If either of them have any medical issues, they have to go to the other one for care.
Yeah. She got busted when her coworkers complained that she captured the images of two patients and then sent them via text. So she's like, not just like taking these pictures, she's also like sexting them to people.
Yeah. Hey, check this out. She's posing. She's catfishing people.
Tyson just came up with a great idea. All these doctors who have been sued or lost their practice due to malpractice, they should form like a hospital, like the reject hospital, where other rejects have to go to get their care.
Yeah. Some sort of like Hamsterdam of the malfeasance doctors.
Yeah. Yeah. And you go there and it's a horrible place, but that's the punishment for doing stuff like this. It's like, okay, well now there's only one hospital that'll take you as a patient.
Yeah.
Okay. And
or as a doctor,
some sort of lawless hospital.
Maybe it's on an island somewhere.
Right. Maybe I don't know if there's like a
Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is, I don't know. Are the patients also bad people that have to go to this hospital?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So if she has a medical issue, she has to go to that hospital to get it taken care
of. Like Jared from Subway has an issue. He goes to this hospital to get treated.
Yeah.
He just recently had an issue. He was beat to within an inch of his life.
Yeah. He's having a hard time. In prison.
So he would go to that hospital.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Maybe I need to get this up on Tinder as one of the things of I'm for or against to see if I would vote for Danny on this position. Okay. All right. Adam is calling in. He's got a hot take. Let's get him in.
Ooh.
Adam from Australia on Blab for 212 days now. Here's Adam.
Hello. How are we going?
Good. What's up, Adam?
I thought it was a great show, as always. You know, it's 5 stars. You know I love you guys. So, yeah, I really liked the Freddy Got Fingered story.
Did you like that movie?
No, I've never seen that movie. On principle. Right. Oh, what do you mean not yet? I try and stay away from movies that are universally bad, though, Tyson.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but sometimes, like down the road, if you wait long enough, then they become celebrated.
Yeah, we were going to do a podcast all about it this summer. That was going to be one of our off-season podcasts. Me and Danny and Tyson, we're going to review Freddy Got Fingered.
If you want to see a bad movie, just go see Batman versus Superman. That's a hot take, right?
I thought you were setting me up for a Scorn joke, Adam.
Oh, no. Rob, I've never seen a Scorn. I can't find it.
You're lucky.
Here in Australia.
Yeah.
I want to watch it. I do want to watch it, though, because you're in it. So yeah. It must be good.
All right, Adam. So other than Batman versus Superman, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Australian PM got in a bit of trouble recently because he borrowed a slogan from a famous HBO show. You know, the US political show Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes.
A great show. So he used a meaningless slogan from that show. He was ridiculed on social media after repeatedly referencing continuity and change in his government. So the media here caught wind of it, and then the creators of Veep and Julia Louis-Dreyfus herself commented, and she tweeted, "I am dumbstruck." And the creator, Simon Blackwell, said, "We came up with the most meaningless election slogan we could think of, now adopted by an Australian PM." So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
They're all meaningless. How do they know that he stole this from the show? It seems like all these slogans that they come up with are just – they're all the same, you know? Mm-hmm. He could have come up with that on his own.
Well, it was on the back of a bus. Like, it was, you know, there's a screenshot where it says Selena Meyer, continuity with change. So, I mean, it's just the fact that they resembled it so much. And we live in this age where, you know, anything that resembles something, we've got to automatically save it.
So it was like subliminally in his brain?
I think it must have been.
It must have driven behind the bus.
Yeah. He doesn't watch that show, but somebody on his campaign or does and is like, "Hey, I got a great slogan. Continuity and change," and they're like, "Perfect, that is so good." But throw it up there,
Tyson. What would your campaign slogan be if you were running for president?
Hope.
Hope. That one's already taken, Tyson. You can't steal.
Yeah. Wait, Adam, are you wearing a "Make America Great Again" hat?
Okay. I need to tell you the story. This is a "You're Fired" cap. I need to tell you the story.
So you're wearing a Trump hat.
You're a Trump supporter.
No, I'm not. I think I unwittingly donated to Donald Trump's campaign because when I was in New York in 2012, I visited Trump Plaza and I bought this "You're Fired" hat because I was a fan of Celebrity Apprentice.
Wait, Donald Trump, all of his hats have to be red with white hats?
Yeah, what I thought. Maybe he just repurposed his old hats for his campaign.
I feel like he's clearly repurposed the hat. So I thought I'd wear it because I want to, like, I think, like, it's exactly the same font as the "Make America Great Again" t-shirt. Yeah. And, I'm disappointed in myself. So I thought, I have to embarrass myself even more than I did last week.
I love that you needed the "You're Fired" hat, where it's like, that's the right hat for me. You're fired.
Yeah.
How many of those do you own?
Only one.
Okay.
Good.
I have way more buffs. Like, at least, like, give me that. Like, I just had one memento from my New York trip was like, this hat that said "You're Fired" on it. And I've never worn it out since. I feel like this is the worst purchase I could have had related to Donald Trump.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah, that's good.
You love it.
All right. Adam, anything else?
Well, I want to hear more about this review you guys talked about it in the pre-show. I want to
read it right now while you're on here.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
That'd be great.
A 5-star review of the week.
Okay.
5-star review of the week. Are you ready?
Go. Yes.
I'm ready.
"Dating app news that is relevant AF" by Secret Admirer for Aussie.
Oh.
Rob, Danny,
what,
and Aussie Tyson.
Aussie from South Pacific?
No. Aussie. How do you say Aussie as far as Australian?
Aussie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
"Rob, Danny, and Tyson bring you the most important stories regarding dating apps on a weekly basis. I love hearing all the ways with which I might one day find true love. Seeing as Rob, Danny, and Tyson are all married, I think that guy that shows up at the end is quite cute, too, and would love to show him around New York sometime." This is Donald Trump. "That's one piece of shrimp that would go on the Barbie quite nicely. A must listen for anyone who believes in taking chances on some funny news. 5 stars. Did you write that review, Adam?
No. I have an Australian account, so I don't even see these on the podcast feed or anything. I don't even see these reviews. So this is...
Why?
What?
That's one piece of shrimp I wouldn't mind putting on the Barbie.
Want me to...
We don't even call them shrimp. That's the funniest part of the review.
What do you call them?
Just prawns.
That's prawns. One prawn I wouldn't mind seeing on the Barbie.
She wants to grill me? She wants that's to grill me.
That's one piece of shrimp that would
I think
go
it was a euphemism, Adam.
Nicely.
Yeah.
Maybe this woman's name is Barbie.
Not
we need to find this girl. We need to find Barbie.
Honestly, we don't know if it's a girl.
Yeah.
We do fair know very much.
Yeah, don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah. We have a diverse audience.
We do. I don't discriminate. I admire all admirers of me because I don't have any admirers.
So, Adam, can we arrange a meeting for you and this admirer in New York at some point?
Well, how can we find out who wrote the review, Rob?
They can write in. Send in the tips to tips at newsaf.news. We'll put you in touch with Adam. We can get a hold of him easy.
How about this? How about
what
on July 4th?
Yes,
at 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yes,
the secret admirer show up on Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay,
on the Brooklyn side,
right,
with a red rose, with a single red rose.
Yes,
and a pizza.
And you have to be there too, Adam.
So I have to fly to New York.
Right.
But what if she doesn't exist?
Again, he or she.
He or she. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, but if it's two guys, it's just going to be really awkward if I just show up in there. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, me and the admirer is a guy. It would be – anyway.
2016, Adam.
I support. I don't disavow. I support.
You're wearing a Trump hat.
Rob, I need you to realize something. I'm Muslim, though, so he wouldn't want me in your country at all.
Okay. I don't even know if you're allowed to wear that hat.
No, I'm not. Clearly, Trump's going to come after me after this
you're
after
fired.
This podcast.
So, yeah, Adam, how do you find who this secret admirer is, then?
We need to put the call out. We need to put the call out on Twitter. We need to put the call out on Snapchat. We need to put the call out on that Tinder politics app or whatever as well to make sure she's not a Trump supporter.
He or she.
I keep forgetting.
Could be a robot. Then, it could be Tay.
It could be Tay.
It could be a robot.
I'll throw Tay into the mix.
Or Tay Zonde.
Maybe chocolate rain. There's some chocolate rain involved. Maybe it is Tay. The only Tay I have eyes for, though, is Tay Tay, which is Taylor Swift. So I don't think it's going to work out.
I don't think it's her.
It could be her, though. We don't know that
probably
it's
probably Taylor
maybe
Swift.
Maybe it's Taylor Swift. I can imagine. Or maybe it's like, all right, we'll see what happens, guys. But I think put the call out on Twitter is the best place to find this girl. We've got to find
this
her.
This is exciting.
Okay.
This is really exciting.
He or she.
Oh, boy.
All right, Adam. Well, we'll leave you with that news and, a lot to ponder now moving forward.
God, how are you going to sleep tonight?
Okay.
I'm really not. I'm guys. I'm thinking about this like this is crazy.
All right.
But, thank you guys. thank you guys for giving me this platform to hopefully find true love.
Yeah. Maybe we're the new dating app.
Yeah. We're becoming a dating.
iTunes is the new dating app.
Yes.
All right. To our prawn
iTunes.
Star. Yeah. All right, Adam.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right.
Shaka,
have
Adam.
Shaka.
Shaka, bro.
Shaka, bro.
All right. Wow. Okay. So, boy, we've learned so much today.
We have.
What's the hashtag? Chat room, get in on this. I feel like we had something before.
Come on, chat room.
Prawn on the Barbie?
Secret Aussie admirer.
Do it for Tay.
Racist Tay. Yeah, do it for Tay.
Okay. Of course, you can follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Tyson is at Tyson Apostle. And Danny has a Twitter account that he might be a bot on Twitter for all we know, but he does not tweet anything. At Danny Bryson. They have not had to shut down his Twitter account yet.
Nope.
Not yet.
I've been around for a long time. I was 2007 is when I got my Twitter account.
Tyson, they've just developed a Danny bot, which will actually replicate just like if Danny is on Twitter.
Really?
Yes.
It's really. You'll never know it's there.
I follow that.
Yeah, it just follows a bunch of accounts.
Yeah, I definitely follow that.
Just goes through. Okay. All right. Where do you want to go? You want to do it for Tay?
Yes.
Prawn Star.
That's a good one.
Okay.
I think both those are acceptable.
Okay. Danny, you make the call.
Let's do Prawn Star. I always like our suggestions that people give us.
Boy, a large proportion of our hashtags are based on Adam.
Because he's at the very end.
That's because he's right
the closer.
Yeah, we hear suggestions. I have the whole show, I'm like, perfect. That's the perfect hashtag. Mm-hmm. Remember that. And I don't remember any of it. What we need to have is we need to have Paul. Paul, are you listening? We need to have Paul throughout the entire episode write them down as then we can go back through the comments and look at it. So every time there's a dope hashtag, if he writes it out immediately on the comments, I guess I could do that too, but then I'm multitasking.
Yeah, you don't want to do all right. that. Delegate.
Well, so much fun. Of course, you can send us your blind items all week long. Tips@newsaf.news. You could remain anonymous. We'll give you credit if you want it. Tips@newsaf.news. We'll all get those emails, plus also NewsAF Lita, who does a great job every single week. And also, special thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does a bang-up job of making this passable as an audio podcast. We appreciate that. All right. Anything else, guys?
No. Nope, we're good. We covered it all.
All right. We'll be back again for the first NewsAF in April, coming up 1 week from today. That'll be on this upcoming Tuesday. NewsAF is TuesAF at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Looking forward to it. Talk to you then. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.